Well, hello, saints. All right, well, let me try it a different way. Hello, sinners. All right. Hello, worship team. All right, we'll put you in a different category. It's good to be with you this morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Phil Gold. I'm one of the ministers on staff here. And if you came looking for Scott Allen, our preaching minister, he and his family are on a much-needed break and enjoying themselves, and so we're glad that they have that opportunity. I need some help this morning to preach my message, so I'm going to voluntold some people to come up here and help me. And so thank you, Kara. Would you come up and just stand right here at the edge of the stage for me? I promise I won't embarrass you. I promise I won't embarrass you. Just stand right there for a second. Cameron, I want you to come help me. Brady, would you come help me? I'm just grabbing people near the front because it's just easy that way. Come over here, guys. Come over here. Everybody's like, it's like junior high. People are looking at their feet. Don't pick me. Don't pick me. Okay. Thank you, Julie, for volunteering. So come on up. All right. Hey, guys, there's some pictures right here. What I want you to do is just pick one that speaks to you and then come up here on stage and have a seat for a second. And I'll give you some more instructions. Actually, I'll give you the instructions while you're looking at it. What I want you to do is just pick a picture. So pick a picture. All right, come on up. Now, there you go. See, Brady's leading the way. He gets it. You were the first one called.
I know, but I'm emotional.
Emotional, right? Okay, great. All right, here's what you're going to do. I want you to spend a moment while I talk for a second looking at your picture, and I want you to create a story about your picture 30 to 60 seconds long. I don't want you to go on longer than that, okay? 30 to 60 seconds long. So while they're doing that, I just want to tell you about a couple things going on with the family ministry. One of those you've already heard in our announcements this morning is that Family Retreat is coming up on April 1st through 3rd. Today is the last day to register. There are tons of people that have already registered, but if you want to get in, you need to do it today. Even if you're thinking, I don't know if I can go, please go ahead and get registered because we need to have that information today. And so register today through the app or go online through the website and do that. Just get in there, okay, and get your family registered for Family Retreat. Now, when we say family retreat, some people have it in mind that means I have to have a family, or I have to have kids or something. You are a family. I don't care if you're single. I don't care if you're a couple. I don't care if there's 12 of you. That'd be impressive. I'd love to see your transportation. Anyway, register. It's for everybody. This is a great time. We're going to be doing something a little different this year, going to Camp Eagle. Because HEB camp is not allowing anyone in until June. And so there's going to be all kinds of fun things that we do together, some great worship times, and just time for families and people to be together and enjoy each other. So come try it out. I'll tell you that my wife and I went to our first one 5 years ago, and that's what made us decide that we wanted to make Johnson Street our home, was the experience we had during that family retreat. We fell in love with the people. And it's like, this is home. This is where we want to be. So I want to encourage you to be part of that. Second thing I want to let you know about, ladies, the Aspire Women's Night is coming up. That is May the 14th. It's a Friday night. It'll be in here in this room. And it's a great time for you to come, ladies, and to be encouraged. There's a speaker. There's a comedian. There's somebody leading the worship time. So come and be part of that. Tickets will be going on sale if you haven't already pre-purchased some. In the next couple of weeks so that you can be part of that. So I want to make you aware of that. Last thing I want to bring to your attention is men. Our annual hiking trip, I say annual, we've done it once and then last year got canceled, but this is our second annual hiking trip to Jack's Creek Campground in Pecos, New Mexico, is coming up in July this year. So we're going to be doing it July the 11th through the 15th. If you're interested in being part of that, let myself know, David Tim, Michael O'Brien, David Hedick, just let any of us know. We want to get you involved in that. It's a great time, and it's really cheap. So we'll tell you more about that later. All right. How you guys doing? You got your stories ready? So let's turn this mic on. I'll start with Cameron. Picture number 15. So this is... is that the same one? Yes. Tell us your story again, 30 to 60 seconds.
So it's not so much a story as it is a situation. This picture to me is family on spring break. We've all had a little too much screen time, and the parents are saying, you know, we're going to enjoy the last day of spring break, and we're going to go outside and play, no matter where that is. And that's what this is.
Okay, great. I just hand it to Julie. She's going to go next. Julie, what's the number on yours?
25.
25, please. You saw a number?
It's in my corner.
You did? Okay.
Okay, so I imagine this little girl has just come outside, and maybe it's been raining for a few days, and it's the first sunny day in a long time, and she's running outside to play with her toys.
Okay, that's your story. All right.
Number three. Okay, so the story that I have for this girl, she's either sitting at school or maybe in a playground or on a playground somewhere. And I don't know why, but I kind of picture her sitting by herself and a teacher coming up and asking her if she's okay. And her kind of, she has that little half smile saying that she is okay, but you can also see like a heaviness behind her eyes that she's not, so.
Great, thank you. What's your number?
19. This is Anna, and I cry about everything. She struggles with self-confidence, but she's strong because you can see her muscles. Look at that. You can see her muscles. She works out. And I think she does that so that she can feel strong. But right here, she's being shy because she doesn't feel comfortable.
Thank you, guys. Y'all, let's give them a hand. Thank you. Y'all can go back to your seats. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you that you are the author and perfecter of our faith, the sustainer and creator of life. We're grateful, God, you've chosen us to be part of your story. And I ask this morning, God, that you open our hearts to receive from you. And Father, we understand the implications of a love so vast. God, I pray for you to move in each heart this morning. That, Father, you can bring about healing for those who need healing, hope for those who are hopeless, and that the joy in those who are joyful would bubble over into the world that surrounds them. Be glorified this morning. It's in Jesus that we pray. Amen. We'll be in Isaiah 43 in just a little bit and look at some other passages together this morning. If you want to turn there, feel free to. I appreciate you guys sharing stories. It's hard to sometimes figure out people's story. If you've been around me much, or if you've met me for the first time, one of the first things I say to people is, so what's your story? And it throws everybody off guard. They're used to hearing somebody say, well, what do you do for a living? Where do you live? You know, blah, blah, blah. But I always ask for their story. There's something about learning someone's story that's important. And stepping into somebody's story, what we do is we get a glimpse of who they are. Most of the time, that's all we get, is just a glimpse. Because we don't do life with everybody all the time, do we? So most of the time, all we get is just, some of us see each other here week after week. And each time we see each other, we're just getting one more little installment of their story. We're just learning a little bit more about them. But we don't know always the backstory. We don't have the full picture. And what happens because of that is that sometimes it causes us, well, to become cynics about people. Because sometimes the part of the story we come into isn't pleasant. Right? Sometimes it causes us to be judgmental. Because when we step into their story at that moment, things may not be going very well. Sometimes it causes us to be dismissive, to make assumptions, or worse yet, to create our own story for them. Have you done that? I know I have. I step into someone's story that I've just met or that I've encountered again, and because I don't know the story, I create a story for them. I give them a story. I project onto them. And what ends up happening is that our minds get blocked to receiving new information about them. Because now every time I see them, I have that same story. And I'm adding to it with my own story. What we need is more information. You've done it. You've had that neighbor that you're going, man, I mowed my yard 2 weeks ago, you know, or 2 months ago. Why haven't they gotten to their yard? You know, and so what do? We start creating a story behind it. We start becoming judgmental. We start saying, well, goodness, they're obviously lazy or blah, 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 and we come up with all these things about them. You've been there. We've got to, instead of making these stories up, we need to stop and start thinking, what's the why? And then I want to challenge us to go to the next step and actually engage them to find out the why. What good is it doing us to complain about our neighbors? Why don't we go and engage them and try to help them? Why do we complain about our coworkers? Why don't we just engage them and try to help them? Story. Truett Cathy, you guys know that name, or at least you know what he's done. He revolutionized the world with the invention of the chicken sandwich and Chick-fil-A, right? One of our favorites. He says, everyone has a story if only we bother to read it. Will we get into their story or not? Are we just going to stay back and create our own? Now, here's the thing I figured out about people. Most people are the same. Most people have the same desires, the same wants, the same ambitions, the same expectations. Their stories just have some different pages in it. Things have been written differently. And so what we've got to learn to do is figure out how to have empathy for others. Because what empathy will do is it will allow you to walk with almost anyone. So you've got that person that lives on the same hall as you do in the dorm. And they're annoying to everybody on that hall. Empathy changes it and allows you to walk with them. Allows you to be a blessing in their life. We've got to develop this empathy. We've got to take time to know people's stories because compassion is important. But here's one of the things that happens a lot. And that is fear jumps into the picture. And here's what I've learned about fear. Fear is an amazing storyteller. Wow. When fear enters the picture, the stories get larger than life. Reminded this morning in our marriage class that I was teaching, one of the guys was talking, he said, I just remember 1 John, perfect love casts out all fear. We're going to talk about that perfect love this morning. What we need to do is figure out how to read less minds and ask more questions. We've got to figure out how to put others' needs ahead of our own. Everybody's got a story. We need to take time to learn their story, rather than creating one for them. And that's all going to start by you being present in their lives. Now, I want you to understand that you have the capacity to do that. You all have the capacity to do that. The question is, do we have the desire? Do I really desire to do this? I love this quote from Jack Gilbert. He said, "Music is in the piano only when it's played." Music is in the piano only when it's played. Can I tell you that God's written a beautiful symphony? Each one of you are the different instruments. But the world will not hear it until we decide to play it. Until we decide to let God play us. Until we decide to let God pick us up and use us. They're never going to hear his love. They're never going to experience what God has written. So, guys, thank you for your stories that you shared with us this morning. Let me go back to these stories for a second that these four came up with. They didn't have much time. They didn't know they were going to do this. They were a little hot and sweaty up here, put on the spot. I get that. I want you to notice something about the stories. They all did a great job sharing stories, creating stories, and you could see what they were saying, couldn't you? And what you were doing was what I did. I started looking at the picture and imagining what they were saying, but also adding to it a little bit and everything. But as we went through that, only one person gave their character a name. Did you notice that? We got to Kara. She had so much empathy over what was going on in that picture. Not to say the others weren't empathetic, but she had so much empathy that she named this little girl Anna. A name. Isaiah 43, beginning in verse 1. "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I've redeemed you. I've summoned you by name, and you are mine." Guys, this morning I want you to understand God knows your name. Listen to what happens next. Verse 2, he says, "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." God knows your name. So, whatever you're dealing with in life, whatever expectations you have in life, I want you to understand God is aware of you. And he knows you by name. There's something special about that, isn't there? You've had those conversations where you're talking to somebody and they obviously don't know your name, and so they never call you by your name. And so the conversation's not that intimate, is it? The feeling isn't that close as you walk away. But when they call you by name, when they reach out and they grab your hand and call you by name, something powerful that happens there. Something amazing that happens in that moment. That intimacy of the name. We do a lot of hashtags today in the world. If you don't know what I'm talking about, that means you're over 40. But you know, one of the hashtags I've seen a lot is hashtag struggles. And people start hashtagging everything, and they're like, hashtag struggles, and they start talking about all the burdens and all the trouble and the struggles that they have in life, the things that they're dealing with, and they're very real. I mean, people are dealing with emotional struggles, they're dealing with relational ones, financial ones, spiritual ones, right? They're dealing with physical ones, and these struggles just build and build and build. And what we need to know is that we have a God who, in the midst of all of that, is very aware of you. So much so that he knows you by name. You know what else? The world around you needs to know that. The people in your oikos need to know that. The neighbors on your street need to know that in the midst of their struggle, we have a God who is very aware of them, who knows them by name. So, there's a lot of hashtags that we put out. Some of us are a little more positive, and we say, hashtag, I got this, you know. Or some of us maybe a little bit less energetic, hashtag, making it, you know. And then we've got all those bright people that just annoy us that, hashtag, blessed, right? And then some of us just say, hashtag, I've got no hashtag. Listen, your story begins with the fact that God knows your name. Isaiah 49:1. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me from my mother's womb, and he spoke in my name. I think I put it in the ESV up here. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name. God is so concerned about you that even in your mother's womb, he knew your name. He knew your name. But I really think our story also, not only does it begin with the fact that God knows us by name, but it begins in John 3:16 that we heard our children share earlier this morning. For God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave so that you can live. Revelation 3:5 says, the one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. And I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but I'll acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. I want you to catch this one. Your name, is in the book of life. In Matthew 10, beginning in verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. I want you to understand that God values you. God values you. How about Romans 8:28? I have Romans in my Bible. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Let me read that again. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. And in Psalm 103, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Verse 2, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. What I want you to catch out of those two verses is that God is active in your life. He's active in your life. Now, I share all of that not to make you feel good about yourself and go, oh, okay, good. God knows my name. God's active in my life. God's aware of me. My name's in the book of life. It's all about me. That was never God's intent. God's intent was not to do all of this just so you sit there and say, it's all about me. The scripture we started with was John 3:16. For God so loved the world. You and I have been called, it tells us. And we've been called to something special, and that is to be salt and light. So in Matthew 5, he says, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. All of this that you've been given is to bring God glory. You and I are to be salt and light in order to bring God glory in our lives. That's a different trajectory than most of us have been on. The people around us, the culture around us, isn't about bringing glory to God. It's about bringing glory to ourselves. It's about amassing things for ourselves. It's about feeling comfortable and not being threatened. It's about feeling secure and having plenty. And on it goes. And he says, listen, you're to be out in the world being salt and light. Why? So that the Father gets glorified. God has given you and I all of these blessings so that we would give ourselves just as he gave himself. And so that's what he calls us to do. Now, it starts with something really simple, because what can happen is a lot of times we get to talking about others and we all start going, well, that's really not my gift. I'm not an evangelist. I don't really know how to do all these things, blah, blah, blah. We began this year in January talking about our oikos. We talked about the fact God's not calling you to go save the world. He's already done that through his son Jesus Christ, right? What is he calling you to do? He's calling you to bless and influence your oikos. Your front row, those 8 to 15 people that God has given you, supernaturally and strategically, for you to be able to come in and to steward those relationships, to bless those people in your life. So here you are, you're to be salt and light with those 8 to 15 people. Can it go beyond that? Absolutely, it will. But it starts with just the people on your front row, the people that are in front of you week after week after week. Some of those people are people that you see every week, and we put them on our potentials list. They're people that God seems to be bringing into our life more often. I wonder if we've stopped to get the story behind the glimpse that we're being exposed to each week. So each week when we go in and we see the same barista at Starbucks, or each week when we go into the bank and we see the same teller, or each week when we go to the grocery store and we have the same clerk taking care of us, are we taking time to try to figure out their story? God's got you seeing those people over and over and over for a reason. They're on your front row. They're watching you as you conduct yourself publicly. Are you creating a story for them, or are you letting them share their story? Are you trying to learn their story? There are those in your life that are there every week. Some of them are the neighbors next door. Some of them are the people that work in the cubicle next to you. It's the receptionist every time you walk through the front doors of your facility, your office, your school. These people are placed in your life for you to be salt and light to. Have you taken the time to stop and learn their name and know their story so that you can be salt and light in their life? Or do you just move on because I've got all these things I've got to do? Salt and light to these people. Remember what he says in Mark 5:19. In Mark 5:19, he says, go home to your own people And tell them what? Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. He didn't say go sit down and have some big, long, drawn-out Bible study with them, right? Or you're worried they're going to throw a question out you don't know the answer to. He says go tell them what God's done for you. Go tell them how God's had mercy on you. Go back to your own people, these people that are on your front row, and bless them. I don't know how many of you are using your Oikos cards. But I pray that you are. I keep mine in my Bible. So each day as I open it, I'm able to take these names and look at them and pray over them as I'm looking at God's Word. There's something special about knowing these names and recognizing that there's more behind the ink here than just a name. But are we taking time to invest in their lives, to know more? Let me read this passage to you from Exodus 33. Exodus 33 begins in verse 1 and says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Leave this place, you and the people that you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised you on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I'll give it to your descendants.'" So Moses has taken the people from Egypt, and they're out in the wilderness wandering, and God's saying, okay, it's time for you to pack up and go and to go into the promised land here. And so verse 12, Moses is having this conversation with God. And Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you'll send with me. You said, I know you by name, and you found favor with me." Verse 13, if you're pleased with me, teach me your way so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. In verse 14, the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest." I think maybe for some of us this morning, we might just need to sit on that verse for a while. That for some of us, we've been saying, okay, God's trying to send me on this journey to go to my neighbors, to go to the people that are in my oikos, and are just to live life, and I feel like I'm going on my own. I feel like I'm struggling to make my way. And God's assuring us in this passage, not only does he know your name, but his presence will be with you. Then Moses said, verse 15, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And verse 17, "And the Lord said to Moses, I'll do the very thing you've asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name." I want you to understand this morning that God is pleased with you. And you go, I don't know, Phil, because I live with me and I know what's going on in my life. I know what's really going on in my heart. And I want to say to you this morning, stop your striving. Stop your striving to make yourself somehow significant. Stop your striving to somehow make yourself pure and holy. Stop your striving. You're not going to be able to do it on your own merits. That's why the scripture tells us that our salvation comes by grace through faith in Jesus. That's why God says, listen, I'm the one that activates this. I'm the one that does this. The blessing is ours not because of the striving that we do, the things that we try to accomplish. The blessing is ours because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross for each one of us. And I don't want you to miss that this morning. Because so many of us have been striving day after day trying to prove ourselves of value to others as well as to God or even to our own selves. And it's time this morning to stop the striving and understand that God's grace is sufficient. Some of us are shattered right now. We've lost spouses that we long to see again. We've lost children. Some of us Our dreams are gone. Some of us were waiting, and we're trying to be patient, but we're waiting. We're waiting for a health report. We're waiting for a phone call. I want you to understand that all these struggles in no way diminish the fact that God so loved you that he gave his one and only son for you. That God knows you by name and that his presence is with you. You're not living this life on your own. And you know, if I were to stop and talk to young people right now, to our teens, our college students, guys, I would tell you that time is your friend. I know that the struggles and things that you're dealing with are very real. And in no way would any of us older folks try to diminish that or dismiss that. But we would all tell you that time is your friend, because through that time, you'll be able to look back and see where God's presence carried you through it. And you'll be able to see where God brought along a godly man or a woman to stand beside you and carry you through it. So don't lose hope in the midst of those struggles. God is very aware of you. He knows you by name. You're of great value. I pray you never lose sight of that. What's your story? Well, your story is a story of love. A God who loved you and called you to love others. And my prayer is that you and I will step into the story and live it out and enjoy what God has given us. For God so loved. We're going to sing a song in just a second. It's one of my favorite songs. For some of you, it'll be brand new this morning. But the song says, he knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. That's our God this morning. You have two responses to that today. Receive it. Live into it. Or keep striving and struggling on your own. And actually, there's a third response. That's to go and take it to others. Let them hear the same story of love. Father, I pray your anointing this morning on everyone in this room. That God, that the lies of the devil will be silenced. That God, they'll no longer hear the destructive things and the hatred that's coming from Satan. That God, the voice they hear is the voice of the shepherd. That this morning, God, that they understand that you love them so much. You're like this shepherd who knows each sheep by name, as you tell us in John 10. That God, that you not only know us by name, but that God, you care for each of those sheep. That God, you protect each of those sheep. So God, what a beautiful picture it is of your love. But I pray, God, that we'll live into that this morning. That we'll know your voice because we spend time with you. And that we'll hear you calling to us. God, I pray for us to be salt and light. And I pray for us to be courageous, to stand around our young people, God. To hold them up, to let them know the sustaining power of your love. God, be glorified in all that we say and all that we do. It's through Through Jesus, our redeeming King, we pray. Amen. Let's stand.